okay, so this is where we're going to start. So let me get my two sneezes in there. This is where we're going to start. We're looking at Paul tonight for the fact that he did things that were involved in the Great Commission in the early part of his ministry that people are still claiming that we should do them today. If we're going to follow Paul, then you can go to early part of Acts and you can find baptism. You can find what he says about the Lord's Supper in Corinthians. You can see it in the Acts. We're going to find where he was involved with healing. And we were going to see where he was involved with people having enough faith to be healed. We're going to see where laying on of hands took place. A bunch of things took place. So why don't they take place today if we're to follow Paul? Because Paul did these things. Well, there's a reason for it. And let's put the conclusion in at the beginning. Obviously, it has to be 1 Corinthians 13:10, because that which is perfect is come, and that which is done in part is done away. And the stuff that was done in part is all this stuff. It's a whole bunch of stuff that was done just as the Lord said different people needed. And so when this thing was putting down in print, 1611, and even though there were printing mistakes, there were errors from men's writings, we don't go after, there were so-called Bibles beforehand, the Matthew's Bible and the Great Bible, etc., etc. There was the different Greek texts and all this stuff. And where was it at before the King James Bible? It's very simple. God worked in people's hearts. God showed them stuff. God told them things. That's what was done in part was up to 1611. So that's the conclusion. But we're going to go back and we're going to look at these things anyway, and we're going to see that Paul really was heavily involved with this stuff. And why is it? I'm still going to get a sneeze in yet. Something is just causing me to sneeze tonight here. So let's look at this stuff. Now what we're going to be looking for here, we're looking for Paul giving out the Jewish message, because this whole thing has got Jews involved, and Paul knows he still needs to go to the Jews first. That's what the Lord taught. And then to the Gentiles. We're going to look for tongues. We're going to look for being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to be looking for healing, laying on of hands, and some other things that were not signs of wonders, ordination, fasting, communion, their faith, being spoken to by God, the whole thing, having a vision. All these things take place in there. And why is that? Well, they had signs. There was one thing. Two, was God, this is the only way God could get a hold of people, was either through Paul and Barnabas and those guys, or directly from God himself, through the visions and stuff. And it all took place. It did. It's legitimate stuff. It's in the Bible. It happened. So the question is, does it happen today? And obviously the answer is no. However, like I said this morning, we know people that do these things and say these things, but they get no results. And if they get any results at all, it would be the devil showing them a false gospel or a false signs and wonders, lying wonders, it's called in Thessalonians. And if 1 Corinthians 13:10 isn't the answer to this thing, and we're waiting for the Lord to come back, then all this stuff should still be having results. Results of what? Signs following. That's what it says in Mark 16. So I even had somebody write to me tonight and tell me that remission and forgiveness is not the same. It is the same thing. I'm getting just deluged here with these James White guys that think they got everything down because they follow this guy. I call him the Peter Ruckland of the Greek people, and it's just ridiculous what they're asking. And they're all asking the same questions. They can't even think for themselves, like I said this morning. But there's more coming in. I just listen, guys. I'm past all this. You know, go bother somebody else. I saw on the website for them if they want to do the gainsayer stuff, but they're just crabbing about the King James Bible, not even talking about the Paul thing. It's amazing. God would call somebody to go around this world, and after 400 years, they finally figured out some of the mistakes in the Bible. Right. It's amazing. And they'll listen to this tonight later on, and you guys just go away. Okay, so let's look at Paul's stuff. Let's go here to Acts chapter 11. Just some. Thanks. Nothing really organized as such. We're going to just do chapters 1 through 15 if we get that far tonight. And then we'll finish out some of the more chapters. Paul still does this stuff right up to the end of Acts. And yet, during the time that this Acts is being written by Luke, Paul writes his Corinthians and his Galatians and his Ephesians and his Colossians and his Philippians. He writes during that time. He goes to jail. He writes things during then. And what he's writing to the Gentiles. But he's got this one thing that he wrote to the Jews, and that's the book of Hebrews. They can say he didn't write that, but a lot of people like to take Paul's credit off of that thing, but Peter makes that for sure, makes that certain that Paul's the one that wrote that stuff. So it's just all coming together for me, even more than I thought it ever had. I thought I had it. I thought it was all there, but we're getting more into this thing. Okay, so here we are. We're in Acts chapter 11. Okay, we're looking at 20. We're looking at 23. Something is really irritating my nose tonight. It's just amazing. It's like it's hay fever season or something. Then tidings of verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Well, know who that is. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, there we go, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. So he's full of faith. Of faith, it says there. And much people is added unto the Lord. Here's why people go back to that part of the Acts, because they're always getting people added to the church, to their church membership roles. But this was added to the Lord, unto the Lord. Then he parted Barnabas to Tarsus. He wants to find Paul. At this point, it was still Saul, for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this is where Barnabas and Paul, we see something starting to take place here. Peter's got the Great Commission. He's doing his thing. And Philip and all these guys, and Saul comes along. Now Stephen comes along, and they kill him off. And Saul comes along and turns to Paul here pretty quick. And Barnabas and Silas get involved. In the meantime, there's this middle mush of Jewish Gentile stuff in there. And we're heading out to where we're going to be eventually going to the Gentiles only. But until then, these things are going to be taking place. Let's go here to Acts 13. Acts 13. Verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord. I like that. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now there you go. People are going to come up with that stuff today. So here's still Paul. He doesn't have a Bible to follow. Paul will be our New Testament Bible someday, but not now. So the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Okay, so here we have it. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Okay, now here's where our man Paul, the one that we're supposed to follow, was involved with hearing from the Holy Ghost, fasting and praying and having hands laid on them. Do we still do that today? Well, yes, we do. What are the results? Zero. Have you seen any results? I could give you name after name after name where God changed his mind and sent somebody somewhere else. Once they went to the first place, they had their hands laid on to go to this place. And they had their hands laid on them, and then they changed denominations. They had their hands laid on them, and they got sick and never made it to the field. They had their hands laid on them, and, it just goes on and on. It's part of that folly today. And where in the Scriptures does it say that we're not to lay hands on there? You go through Paul's writings to the Gentiles. He never says to do it. Now, give you an example. The one example there was Timothy. But that's because Paul put his hands on Timothy way back at the beginning of all this stuff right here. And never done again. Everything has its place in a Bible. But if you wrongly dispensational it out, you'll just mix it all up. We'll come to some more of this stuff as we go here. So, 13, 1, 2, 3, 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed. And there they go. Preach the word of God. Look at verse 5. And when they're at Salamis, they preach the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. This whole thing about the church in Jerusalem, synagogues, synagogue of the Jews, it takes place all through this thing. And yet, you just go to the end of this very chapter, in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Well, it was. They did. Verse 45, it's a Sabbath day, that came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God, and the Jews shouldn't have been there. But they were. When the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. So, we see that the Gentile message is starting to come out more and more. Gentiles only. You go up to verse, again, the end of verse 46. Wax bold should first have spoken it to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, no, we turn to the Gentiles. Now he's telling those Jews, he's turning to the Gentiles. There's a bushel of Jews out there that don't know that yet. For so the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Well, of course they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. And it goes on. And yet, in verse 50, the Jews were stirred up again, and then the honorable and devout women got involved. I won't even go down that road tonight, because most of them can't handle Paul. They still like that religion that makes them do right, so they believe. Guys shook off the dust off their feet, and in verse 52, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That happened again. It's just something that happens then. But it's different. If you want to see how different it is, look at how Paul got saved. Paul got saved by being blinded. He had a physical experience. Do we have to have that? No. So we don't even get saved like Paul did. Our salvation is based on what Paul says, and based on what Christ did, and based on the faith of Jesus Christ. That isn't even what Paul had when he got saved. So if we're supposed to follow Paul, well, I tell you, we can be confused. No, we don't have to be confused at all. This is in the early part of Acts when Paul and Peter are doing their stuff, and now Peter's starting to fade out. He's going to be talking with Peter here last time here pretty quick. And they part. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15, verse 35 here. But I'm going to have to do some looking on this internet or this sermon tonight to get these sniffles out of there. 15, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. See, there's more teachers here. See, maybe if I sniff loud enough, I can find it on my little graph as it goes across here. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good. So here we got that problem. So these guys are branching out with fewer of their people. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, as Paul's message, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they had churches, the local assembly kind of stuff. If you do a study on church and churches, you'll see that there is a local church, and there is the body of Christ church. And there's a church in the wilderness, and to the different dispensations, it's like different, you want to say requirements or whatever, but it's still the same, it's still the body of Christ. But they had local assemblies, and I'm sure according to Corinthians, they had their issues like we do. Anyway, let's go here now. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 20. I'm going to just show a couple of things here where Paul was definitely teaching Peter's message and the gospel message. 9:20. This is what's after Paul gets saved. He has received meat, verse 19, which is after he was baptized. So here Paul was baptized. Wow, exciting. So should we? No, Paul doesn't say that. And when he received meat, I do like that portion. At least he wasn't a vegan or vegetarian. he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Not Paul, of course. Preaching Christ is the Son of God. Look at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And that phrase, the way that's written, proving that this is very Christ. You know, for some reason we should have the word, this is the very Christ. But it's not there, and there's a reason for it. I don't really understand it, other than it's beyond the very Christ. This is very Christ. There's more oomph to that thing, something fierce. Let's go to chapter 13 again. I think I've already said these 4 or 5. Yeah, we did that one. And 6 through 13. Oh, no, this is a good story. Okay, let's go to Acts 13. We have already read about 4 and 5. And there's this story in verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. I like that, Sergius Paulus. A prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And we know these people all the time. You're trying to talk to somebody, and somebody else sticks their nose in and casts the doubt and tries to interrupt the whole thing. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, there we go, that has to happen now, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. You get the impression that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and then not filled with the Holy Ghost during this time? And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, the child, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking to some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Well, yeah, you bet he would. This deputy had to see something. He believed by what he saw, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So, can we do that today? Can we walk up and blind somebody? A, they're already blind. But B, physically blind somebody? We can do a Three Stooges thing and poke them with the eyes, the two-finger eye poke, but totally different. But Paul did that. So why don't we do that if we're to follow Paul today? We know the answer. Boy, my nose is just like I sniffed up some of that face makeup powder stuff or whatever. Oof, sorry. Look at verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. These guys are getting out of the picture, and Paul is getting into the picture. Oh, let's see here. Let's go. Chapter 13, verse 45. Let's look at that thing. Oh, we've been over that. Yeah, where the Jews were filled with envy. And look at all that took place there. Look at 14:2. 14:2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So, you know, these kind of things still take place today, but this is unbelieving Jews. The whole issue is Jewish, Jewish, Jewish. Let's go to Acts 9. We did that one. Let's go to Acts 14. Let's look at this one. Let's show Acts 14, verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. That's a Pentecostal thing. The reason people aren't healed today is because they haven't got enough faith. We've heard that. Said with a loud voice, stand upright my feet, and he leaped and walked. So then Paul is worshipped as a healer, that kind of thing. He's a god of the healers there. But there's a place where it says he had to have faith to be healed. Now, how do you discount that to somebody who believes that? Well, Paul said that. Well, this is at a time, again, before the book, before the King James, which makes the King James extremely important. Extremely important. Well, yeah. Is it the gospel of their salvation? That's pretty important. Is an NIV the gospel of their salvation? Did all this stuff continue up to an NIV? Is it coming back into play now that the King James has been figured out with mistakes? Now the NIV and the ASV, all these are coming back into play? These modern Bibles, are we getting back into this stuff again? Well, we are. The teachers are. It's because the ecumenical crowd is moving right in. They're moving in with all this stuff. And just for winging it here, the power that's behind all the stuff in these Pentecostal teachings going into our churches today is music. I'll just throw that in at you. Everybody's listening to the same Christian music, if you want to call it Christian music, which, by the way, there is no such thing as Christian music. I mean, it exists in everybody's minds in the bookstores, but anyway. Let's go here to Acts 9:17. We did that. Let's go to Acts 13:3. Let's go back one notch here. 13:3. Laying on of hands. There that is. Okay, we've done all that. Oh, I got to look up a verse here because I forget to write down the reference to it here. We'll go to Acts here. Go to Acts and we'll type in this word. Oh, it's not in there. Great. I didn't type it right. Anyway, we'll keep going here. We got the blinding thing. And Acts 9 verse, let's go to Acts 9 verse, okay, that's Paul. Let's go back to Acts 9. Like I said, I'm just winging some things here. Back to Acts 9, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go straight into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Verse 12. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done. So this takes place. Here's an example of a vision. If we go down to verse 18, we see where Paul was actually baptized. There fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he wrote, it was baptized. There's an example. If you go to verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. And we know that Paul had even seen the Lord more times after this. Galatians 1, Ephesians 3, and 2 Corinthians 12. He talks about the times he sees him. So do people see Jesus today? They say they do, some of them. The near-death experience people and all that stuff. Oh, I tell you, there's so much stuff. Let's go back to 14. Back to 14. We see in 14, we see verse 3. Where it says there, talks about the unbelieving Jews in verse 2, 14 verse 3, long time there abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, this there in the synagogue of the Jews there, which gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Well, that's great commission. And that's fine. Then, look at 15:12. Then, all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. How could that be Gentiles? So we don't even follow signs and wonders today. Because this is the Gentiles during the Great Commission, which were led to by Peter, by the Jews, and by Paul's things too. God used Paul for these miracles, these signs and miracles and wonders as well. It's just all early Acts, middle Acts. But this is not what Paul teaches to Gentiles. We've got to realize that. The gospel of the uncircumcision was Paul's message to the Gentiles. Well, how do we know what he teaches for salvation? How do we know what he teaches for doctrine? We read the books he wrote to the Gentiles. For example, Romans chapter 1. Says, starts off with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Okay. Take your pick, 1 Corinthians, first verse, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man. Go to Ephesians, Paul. Every one of his books starts out with Paul. So if we're going to follow Paul, we follow Paul's books. The confusion comes, especially in Corinthians, because some of these things are mentioned in Corinthians. You know, the baptism, the Lord's Supper, the healings, those things are taking place. Why is that? Because those are still referring to, he's writing to the Corinthians, but he's amongst Jews still. And we see that in Paul. Corinthians was written approximately around chapters 19 and 20. So Paul has still got some Jewish folks hanging around him. Oh, let's go on here. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 23. What do we got there? Chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So, you can read what that's all about, but there's a verse right there that would support pastors today having ordination and fasting. And again, and you know, sending someone out, commended them to the Lord, and kind of a thing, dedicated to the Lord, you know, dedicating your children and stuff. I could tell you, every parent I saw dedicate their children to the Lord because they were so proud not to do the baptism thing have not done what they said they would do. They have not taken their children through to the Lord. They have not stayed with the church. They have not, I'll tell you, their kids are as worldly as, I can give you some names right here tonight that they went through, that I saw them, and they made those declarations, those vows as such. And they have not done it. So they better be glad they were not living during the Great Commission. God would put it to them. Instead, the preacher puts it to them with the King James Bible, preaching rightly divided, and they just get mad at the preacher and leave. I've got 14, 25, and 28. Let's see if that says what it says here. 14, 25 to 28. Okay, it says here, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. I like to open the door of faith. Well, everybody's had faith up to this point. Sure, Habakkuk talks about it. But to open up the door of faith, they opened up the door of the faith of Jesus Christ. Talks about in Galatians. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. So they got results. Where are the results today from all this ordination and fasting and stuff? There are none. Okay, what are we doing here? I'm probably talking too fast and balmy with my stuffy nose here now. Hope the sound is up. Let's see what we got here. Amen to the King James. Okay. Let's go here to 13 again for some reason. Let's check it out here. 13 verse 38. I've got here, this is some of the stuff that he's taught to the Gentiles that he's already teaching in the early parts of this Act stuff. Look at verse 38. He's talking to the who? In verse 16, he says, men of Israel, and here's what he's telling them, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So Paul still doesn't teach that in his Hebrews book, by the way. He still teaches the grace of God, but they can lose it. And the chastisement that takes place, and the et cetera, et cetera. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He's telling the Jews they're not going to believe him. Them. I mean, he's telling the Jews, you're not going to believe me. Here, I'm offering you forgiveness and God is offering you grace and all this stuff, and you're not going to buy it. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. The next Sabbath, again, Jewish attitude there. And he spoke to them, persuaded them to continue the grace of God, verse 43. So he's putting a Gentile message in there to the Jews, and he's telling the Jews, you're not going to believe it anyway. And it wouldn't surprise me. I can't, this is just my winged thought. Maybe this is about what he was writing Hebrews. Okay, you Jews, here's what I need to tell you guys. So next time you read Hebrews, just put in your mind that he was back in these early days, and he's talking to the Jews as he's going to go out to the Gentiles and tell them a gospel of the uncircumcision. And we know in Romans 11, you know, the Jews can have it, but they don't want it, and they're blinded. So they really don't even really have the chance as such to hear the truth. So maybe this is why Paul has given them what God has told him to write to the Jews. A little difference in there. Remember, he gave all of it to the Gentiles, so the Jews would be jealous. If the Jews had everything the Gentiles were given, what would there be to be, jealous about? So the Gentiles have more. They've been given more here. Let's go to 15. We can probably finish up with 15 here. Go back to 15, verse 1. And certain men that came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles. So you guys got some of this wild teaching? You better go up and see the apostles and see what they have to say about it. See if they go along with you. And what we're going to do here, like on Wednesday night, which I know you won't be there, but I'm not sure how many listen to the Wednesday night ones afterwards, but we're going to start with 16. And the surprising thing here is what Paul does here, he keeps doing for a while. That's what I want to point out. From 9 to 15 doesn't surprise us, really. But from 16 beyond, there's still some things in there that Paul does, even, like I say, even in Corinthians, which is during this time. So Paul does some things that we don't do. And yet we're to follow Paul. So we don't do the things that he did to and for and in front of the Jews. And he did some of those things that the Gentiles saw. Well, of course the Gentiles are going to believe what they saw. But to the Gentiles comes faith. Gentiles comes imputation. To the Gentiles comes spiritual circumcision. Circumcision without hands. Operation made without hands. And a salvation based on faith, not on their works, etc., etc. So there is a difference in what Paul teaches to the Jews and what Paul teaches to the Gentiles. And it's an interesting thing to try to get a hold of as you're reading through your Bible. You get an understanding of this whole book. It just keeps getting tighter and tighter, and more things we can see as we read our Bible. And in the meantime, just remember what Paul preached to us. Follow what he teaches to the Gentiles. And unfortunately, Paul is involved with the walk. And we will be persecuted if we try to walk the walk that Paul teaches us to walk. Not because we have to, just reasonable service, he says. Just because all that Christ has done for us, we could at least be a living sacrifice, our body.